Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
If, and I want to bring James into this, but if both players did the unthinkable, right, and maximize their potential, both of them, which player is better?
De'Aaron Fox.
I think so, too. I think so, too. I also don't think that's ever going to happen with him. Bring in James Hamm. James, what was your conversation with Kyle Madsen this morning on the Insiders regarding Tyrese Haliburton after that performance last night?
I think it's interesting. He's like every time he takes like 5 steps forward, he has a game like this where it just kind of, he doesn't stand out. But to be honest with you, like that's the Indiana Pacers. You know, like there are ways to take away one player, and when one player has as much of an impact as a game as Tyrese does, that's what your job is as the Thunder, is to try to just knock him off balance, make him more of a scorer. I think, you know, the Pacers are going to have to make some major adjustments to get Ty free. They're going to have to run more screens. They're going to have to stop slipping all their screens and just running to the basket, expecting him to be able to hit them in stride, because that's just not the way that OKC plays defense. So I think you get exposed to it, but for as much as we want to say that, Tyrese Haliburton is also the guy who's hit 4 or 5 game winners in one playoff season and led his team all the way to the NBA finals. So, yeah, I mean, I think our conversation was centered more around, you know, where is he as a player? And, you know, are we jumping too far saying he's like a top 10 player, or he's, you know, one of the best players, a superstar? But I don't know. I think both things can be true. I think you can have a bad game in the finals, and you can also be someone who's proving that you're a superstar every single time you go out on the floor.
Yeah, and the whole superstar thing, I mean, that's subjective. That's what people think. I'm not here to, if somebody thinks he's a superstar, who am I to be like, no, you're wrong. He's not a superstar. Like, that's what that person feels and believes. I don't think he is a superstar yet, and that's okay. I think he's relatively early in his career. He's got plenty of time to build that resume to be there. But those moments, where he plays like he did last night, we've seen it in every series. And when I think of the superstars, they just don't have that leeway. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't have that. LeBron James have a 5-point third quarter. Like, LeBron James had a triple-double in the NBA Finals, and it was like a Jason Kidd triple-double, and he never lives it down.
Mm-hmm.
Never lives it down. Like, the true superstars, in my opinion, don't get to have those type of performances, or don't get to have the game 5 that Tyrese had in the Garden with a chance to close out, or the game 3 against Cleveland. You know, I think Anthony Edwards is a superstar. I think it was the day you were here, but he also did it when they got eliminated. Those last two games of that series was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
That was embarrassing. That's an indictment on Anthony Edwards. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to give him a pass. I think he's a superstar. I can't give you a pass if I think you're a superstar for those two performances. That's awful. And if that's the way Tyrese is being categorized as a superstar, that was pathetic last night.
Mm-hmm.
My response would be that, you know, LeBron never hit five game winners in a playoffs.
Well, James, like, they're not the same. I'm not saying,
but if you're going to compare Ty to LeBron and say that he doesn't have, you know, LeBron doesn't have those types of games and all these players, those other players also don't hit one game winner after another and lead their team almost single-handedly at certain points to the NBA finals.
That doesn't mean LeBron
has led a team to the finals, like all kinds of different teams.
What I'm saying, what I'm saying though is, if LeBron has that game, he gets his ass lit up. And this was almost 15 years ago, and he hasn't lived that game down yet. That's what I'm saying. That's what the superstars, they just can't have that game ever. And
yeah,
if that's the energy that people are going to have towards Tyrese because they say he's a superstar, then that's fine too. But it can't be, you know, he hits clutch shots, so that's bad, but he hits clutch shots. Like, no, don't nobody say that about the true superstars. And that's my whole thing. Like, they're expected to perform a certain way every single time out, and anything less is just unacceptable.
Well, yeah, but my point stands. It doesn't matter how many times LeBron walked in and was the most dominant player on the floor, he still never came away from games with that many big-time shots. Like, you can say it's a clutch gene, you can say whatever, but Tyrese Halliburton's straight up a winner. And I think that's the biggest thing for me, is that we're learning each and every time. Anytime the games, we can ask the question now, if you had one player with their, and you wanted the ball in their hands at the end of a game in the NBA today, it's Tyrese Halliburton. And it's not De'Aaron Fox. It's not Kyrie. It's not Luka Doncic or LeBron James. This dude has come through every single time. And so, like, I get your comparisons, but he's not a 30-point per game scorer. He's a guy who leads the league in assists and who runs the highest octane offense where, you know, they share the ball and they keep everybody involved. I'm not going to ding a guy just because he doesn't score like Shea, you know, I even made the point to Kyle, like, as much as we want to, you know, clap for Shea and say how great he's been in these playoffs, he's averaging like 2 points less per game than he did in the regular season. Like, aren't superstars supposed to elevate their game in the playoffs?
Yeah, and isn't he elevated? Any averaging like 35 in the finals?
Who's that?
Two games. SGA. He had 38 in game one. What do you have? 34 last night.
Yeah, but he's averaging 30 for the entire playoffs.
But in the biggest stage, in the championship round, he has elevated his game.
And in the biggest stage on the championship ground at home, he got beat by Tyrese Halliburton hitting a 17-foot jumper, 0.3 left. So that's the point. Like I think what we're watching here is star level players.
They're not on the same tier, and that's okay.
One's an MVP.
That's okay. Yeah. Tyrese is great. That's okay. Yeah. SGA is on a different level.
Yeah, but as much as SGA is a great scorer and a great defender, like, that doesn't mean that Ty isn't going to reach the same exact like height, because, you know, like, I compare Ty to Steve Nash. Like, I'm not comparing Ty to Michael Jordan or LeBron James or Kobe Bryant, but that doesn't mean that they aren't equally as important. You know, Nash won back-to-back MVPs, putting up basically the stats that Ty is putting up right now. So I think, you know, scoring matters for sure, especially on a team that doesn't have elite scoring at every position like OKC. But, you know, I think Ty's got more scores around him, and you know, maybe the opportunity isn't there for him to score 30, but also that's not their system.
I've lost track of what this conversation was. I'm still piecing
together.
Well,
James
together.
Wants to give Tyrese a pass for a terrible performance, and I say, and if you're a superstar, you don't get that pass. You don't get that pass. LeBron don't get that pass. He's a superstar. He don't get that pass for that game he had against J.J. Barea. That's my whole thing. If he's a superstar, hold him to superstar standards. Last night was anemic. 5 points on six. Like you said, it wasn't even like he was missing.
Yeah, neither of the two games have been great. That's what the 17-footer at the end of game one kind of drowns out, as Ty wasn't very good in that game either. But he has an opportunity to be better when this series goes back to Indiana. Hammer, I'll ask you the question I asked Kyle right. That I asked Kenny right when you joined us. If De'Aaron and Tyrese both maximized who they are as a player, who do you think is better?
I mean, forever I would have told you De'Aaron, but like one guy has his team in the NBA Finals, and the other guy just asked out of town. There's something we want to call it clutch, but like I prefer to call Ty just straight up a winner. And to me, that is something that I think we're seeing translate. We saw it translate to a team that played way over their heads last season. This season, we're seeing a team that is, like, realistically, he is, you want to call De'Aaron the head of the snake? This dude is the head of the snake. That team, you know, lives and dies with him. And, like, it's a little bit easy to take him away. But that's because we're dealing with OKC, who's one of the best defensive teams we've ever seen, right? And at least since, like, you know, the early 2000s or 90s, like, this team is so good defensively, they are going to be able to hurt him. But they would be able to hurt other players as well. You know, they, against Minnesota, sure, like, every game Anthony Edwards was able to get a bunch of points, but he wasn't able to impact winning at all. You know, and they took away every single other avenue for them.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The score and said, all right, it's fine if Ant beats us. With Indiana, they've got to take away one player, his ability to set everybody up. And so I don't know. I'm going to say that Tyrese Halliburton has proven he's a better player. And, you know, that's because he's still playing and De'Aaron Fox has never made it past the first round. And we can point fingers and place blame and all that stuff. It's not De'Aaron Fox's fault that his GM, right at the last second, pulled out of a trade that would have landed Pascal Siakam in Sacramento. But, you know, it is what it is. We know what Ty can do. Anything that we do, we're talking about with De'Aaron as far as winning is speculative at this point.
Well, I mean,
just my opinion. And I love De'Aaron Fox. I think Kings were idiots for trading him.
So do you think De'Aaron Fox has maximized his potential as a basketball player?
No, but I also don't know that De'Aaron will ever maximize his potential as a basketball player.
No, we agree. We agree there. It may never happen, but he has, in a hypothetical world, if they both maximize who they can be as basketball players, who would be better?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be subjective on what it is that you think is what better means. Because, I know you lean towards scores. And, you know, Ty's never going to average 26.5 points a game like De'Aaron did. But De'Aaron also can't average 11 assists a game. It's just not in him as a player. So, you know, he can put up 11 assists in a game. But to do that consistently and to give his teammates not just a pass, but the right pass on time, on target, and in rhythm, Ty is one of the best in the business.
Indeed he is. And now the Sacramento Kings need to find a point guard because they don't have either one of those guys anymore. So nope. That's great.
They don't even have Davion.
They have nobody. So I'll ask you this. Scoring point guard, distributing point guard. What should the Sacramento Kings lean towards in Scott Perry's search this offseason?
I think what you need is... It's kind of like the small forward, power forward version of. You need long, athletic, defensive-minded point guard that can hit a three. You know, I really wish that Keon Ellis was 2 years further advanced, because I think in the right system, in a Denver Nuggets-type system, I think he can be a lead guard who brings the ball up the court and stuff. I don't know. They probably need a scorer as well, but that just depends if DeMar's still there. It depends if Zach LaVine is still there. I think what they need to do is get the best point guard they can possibly get. And I don't think it really matters if he's a score first or if he's a pass first. They just need somebody who understands the position and is top 15.
We talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, just trying to, you know, pillar. Oh, hold on. Damn, said 1 second. Hold on.
Oh, someone's getting traded. The point guard's on his way. James is getting a call. The point guard is, who's it going to be? Is it Fred VanVleet? Is it Darius Garland? Who is it? Oh, I can't wait to find out when James comes back and tells us what point guard is on the way. Maybe it's the starting four. Who could it be? Maybe John Collins is finally on his way. Maybe it's Trae Young. What news is James about to break? Oh, James can't talk. It looked like he mouthed. Trae Young.
I had a TV turn on.
Oh.
Out of nowhere and start playing loudly. I'm like, oh, that's loud.
Oh, man, I thought we had a new point guard here in Sacramento.
Soon. You know what? Like, they need the best player possible. And the point guard position is it's like the most important position in the NBA at this point. And to go from not being able to fill the small forward position for a while to now having the small forward position and the point guard position like wide open and no draft pick. It's just not a great spot to be in. I mean, this is like wildly, wildly like important to fill this position. And that's why I keep saying, and I know Kyle says this all the time, like, you know, draft picks be damned, go get the right point guard right now. If you got to go overpay for Darius Garland, or, you know, if you can somehow talk Philly into dealing Tyrese Maxey, or, you know, like one of these point guards that just stand out that are really, really, really good, then you got to do it. It's a situation you put yourself in when you traded your star point guard. And so I fully expect the Kings to be aggressive, and they have to attack the position with, you know, with a mentality that they haven't been able to see anything for the last 5 years. Like, this is a major, major point of not just need, but like, this is how you establish who you are as a team, is your point guard position.
Do they need to come out of this offseason with like a big name, or like, I guess, are they going big game hunting this offseason? Because we were talking about Trey, LaMelo, and those guys, but is that what they're looking for, do we think?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to hear a lot of like Jrue Holiday talk. I think we're going to hear they do need to. I guess it just depends, Jesse, on what you consider big game hunting. You know, like, there is a certain level of player that you need to add to this roster just to make them competitive in the Western Conference, especially if you intend on using, say, a player like DeMar DeRozan to get there. You know, we forget that, you know, while DeMar DeRozan might not fit in Sacramento perfectly, he still averaged 22 points a game, and the Kings are going to need to figure out a way to replace that. And if he's not there. This is going to be a really weird summer, because I don't think that it's going to play out like it has the last couple of years, where everything is brought into the light all the time. And every player on the roster feels like they're about to get traded any minute. But I do think that they're going to be active, and they're going to push the envelope on what feels comfortable. And that's a good thing.
I asked Matt George this last week when he was on, and I want to get your thoughts on it, Hammer. Is there any reason why the Kings should have Devin Carter, Malik Monk, and Keon Ellis all on the same team next year? And what I mean by that, to further clarification, is would you try to package one of those guys to get a bigger star? DeRozan and Devin Carter, so to speak, just to get more salary, get a bigger star in here, because I think they're a little redundant, all three of those guys, especially if they're not even, none of them are going to start for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest problem, right? The biggest problem is you just named three guys and none of them are the starter at the shooting guard position. That's Zach LaVine, and he plays 35 minutes a night. So that's a problem. If you're going to move Zach to the small forward spot, at least for short stints, play sort of a small ball, you know, three guard lineup, I you can fit one or two of these guys in the lineup with them. I also think, like, as of today, like, it doesn't matter how many times Domas or Scott Perry or Doug Christie talk about needing a point guard, the only point guard, the only guy who can play point guard on this roster right now is Malik Monk. And if the season were to start today, and this is your roster, that's probably who I'm starting at the point guard position, and, you know, trying to work through that. But I don't know. I do think they are redundant. And not only that, they're redundant at a position that you don't need redundancy, you know, because the shooting guard position is one of the easier positions in the NBA to fill. And the fact that they have so many of them isn't good roster design at all. And that's why, you know, drafting a guard last year and trying to call him a point guard in Devin Carter, that was crazy. I don't understand what the idea behind that was, unless it was to trade Devin Carter once you drafted him, and then they didn't do that. And so you get stuck with a whole bunch of players, because like you mentioned those guys, I'd like to see Isaiah Crawford play, you know, like maybe he's not an NBA rotational player, but 6'6", like 225, built like Lou Dort, can jump out of the gym, can hit what he hit 42% from three at the G League level. Like that's the type of guy, the type of personality, the defensive minded specialist that every other team is sitting there cultivating and the Kings haven't been able to. And whether he plays a two or the three, you know, that's a player that, again, that they need to see what he is and who he can be. And that's where, when you bring up the other guys, it's like, you could easily move on from one of those guys that, you know, whether I think Monk is probably the most difficult to replace. I think Keon is probably the most valuable because of the contract and his play style. And then a young player who was just a 12th pick in the draft or 13th pick in the draft last season, like they all have their pluses and minuses, but it didn't make a lot of sense to have all three of those guys and trade your star point guard for a star shooting guard.
Yeah, bad roster management there. But the Kings will work to dig themselves out of that hole, and it feels like it starts and ends with DeMar DeRozan. No one on Earth, I believe the entire planet, is of the belief DeMar DeRozan will be wearing a Kings uniform next year. It's just a question of what are they able to get in return for him? Are they going the point guard position? Or KC has this idea of maybe the Sacramento Kings should think about, in addition to the point guard position, obviously, attacking the four spot and moving Keegan Murray up to the three. What do you think, where do you think Keegan Murray is best utilized on the floor for the Kings?
Yeah, in a perfect world, I would want Keegan at the three. Like, that's a perfect world. But the modern NBA, there's so many players that bounce back and forth between the three and the four. And the fact that Keegan has been able to play the three and the four and defend all the way up to the one is pretty impressive. So I think it matters that you try to get a bigger player. You know, I've heard plenty of people around the Kings say, even last year, you know, you had Valanciunas and Sabonis at the center position, but you didn't have a single power forward outside of Trey Lyles that was like a true power forward that can go in and rebound, that can go in and bloody people, that can go in and make a post move. And, you know, Keegan can be that if you just want him to, again, strip away even more of his game and make him a defender and a post player. His college numbers in the paint were unbelievable, like 97th percentile in the NCAA inside the key. The dude can score in the post, but that's really not his game. So I think adding a power forward is, even especially with Trey leaving most likely, that would be one of the top things. But I also think like finding more guys like Jake LaRavia or better than Jake LaRavia, you know, there's a way in which Keegan can be in a forward, like a sharing, you know, switchable forward set, that neither one of them are two power forwards or two small forwards. They're just two forwards. And that would pretty much probably be what the Kings hope to get to.
We'll come back. We'll talk more with our insider from the insiders. It's our man James Hamm here with D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Back with James Hamm at the Insiders, 10 to 12 here, along with Kyle Madsen on ESPN 1320. Great question from our man Soren in the chatty house during the commercial break. I had to actually hit pause on the conversation because we wanted to make sure we brought this one to the radio. What we've, as Jesse pointed out, we have piled on quite a bit, rightfully so, on Monty McNair. But no one's ever asked, what do you think Monty's vision was for this roster? Like, if he had seen this through, what do you think his vision was for this team?
Well, it sucks because what we have is the remnants of what's left, right? So you're sitting here trying to rewind what exactly happened here and how it got to where it is. But I think, like, his, like, on his gravestone is going to be the guy who almost acquired this guy, and that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy that almost acquired OG Anunoby, that almost acquired Kyle Kuzma, that almost acquired Cam Johnson, that almost acquired John Collins, that almost acquired Pascal Siakam. Like, even Ben Simmons, almost acquired Ben Simmons, flew to Philadelphia to close a deal with Daryl Morey and never got the deal done. So, like, look, I think we see the vision for what he was trying to do.
I forgot about that. I completely forgot about Ben Simmons and him flying out there to see him. I completely forgot about that one.
Or Toronto having Masai Ujiri here in Sacramento and them negotiating that day. I believe that was...
Negotiations ended before we even got to the arena.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they ended because the question I think that was posed was, well, will you sign here? And to Siakam, and the answer was, well, what's your offer? And their offer was below what he thought he was worth. And so the answer became, no, I won't sign there. And again, like, that's like the price of business in the NBA is really expensive. You know, Kyle brought up a Cleveland Cavaliers like mock trade today where the Kings would send out Sabonis and Devin Carter for Darius Garland and Jared Allen. And like, and then the Kings would have to give up 2 or 3 first round picks. Right. And the question is whether that's fair or not. Like, that's one question, but then, you know, they're always like, who would say yes and who would say no? And your initial thought was there's no way that Cleveland's going to trade 2 starters off a 64-win team. And then you look and they're at $218 million in dedicated salary for next season with only 10 players. So they're not only second apron, they're like a massive, massive luxury team. And so if you were to do a deal like what Kyle had like proposed, I don't know, you could save them upwards of $50 or $60 million between salary and luxury tax. And so a team might do something like that, right? Anyway, I think that there are a lot of different ways to look at where this team is today and where it should have gone and where it was heading. And then the detours that took them to where they are today. But all of them are stunning. Like, nothing feels like it had to go this way at all. And that to me is, I think, probably will what be listed along with all the players that he didn't trade for. The idea was there. You saw it. You heard it. You heard all the trade rumors. You heard all the players that they were interested in. And almost all of those were legitimate. So you can kind of piece together what this team was supposed to look like or what it could have looked like. But in the end, you don't get paid for what you could have done. You get paid for what you did do.
Sneaky tidbit right there by James Hamm is the reason why Pascal wouldn't resign.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make Monty look any better. That might not have been a Monty call, though, either. That could have been a Vivek thing, like, hey, I don't want to go into the tack for this guy. But that's, like, it could have happened.
In fairness, I recall after Siakam signed the deal, asking the question broadly. I do not remember what your answer was. Just broadly asking on the show, knowing what it costs to keep Pascal Siakam, are you comfortable? Now, obviously, this feels different because he's playing.
Yeah.
He's playing basketball right now. But asking the question, knowing what Pascal Siakam cost, are you comfortable with the Kings passing on this, or should they have made every effort to pay him exactly what he wanted and just invested fully in this being the group? Most people said no.
I said no.
Most people said no.
I said no. I also, and like, this is where I will defend Monty McNair. at that particular time, I'm not including Keegan Murray in the trade. Mm-hmm. And I'm of the belief that that's what they were asking and that's what it would have cost to get Pascal Siakam or OG Anunoby. Maybe they could have got it done another way, you know, Harrison Barnes and some other stuff. But from everything we had heard, they were asking for Keegan. And at that point, coming off that rookie season, I wasn't trying to trade Keegan Murray for one of those two guys. So I would have not had Siakam as well, or at the very least not for that price tag. Maybe I would have tried to trade some other things and work some other deals, but maybe add a draft pick or something. But if Keegan Murray was in the deal, I wouldn't have wanted to trade him either.
Yeah, I don't believe that Keegan was in either of those deals. It's possible that he was, because we never saw the full-fledged, like the final trade, right? But I do know that Malik Monk was brought into the trade at the last minute, or at least Toronto tried to bring him into the trade at the last minute. And again, I believe the Kings were more interested in a combination of like Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes and multiple first round picks in exchange for Siakam. And in exchange for OG, it was even less than that, because OG was at like $18.6 million salary. And so it was more picks, or it was similar amount of picks, but it wasn't as many players.
Of all of the deals we think he was close on, which one do you think he should have gone all out to execute? I'm guessing it's not Ben Simmons, but there's Siakam. Obviously, we think there's OG. There might be a few others that you're a little more privy to than I am. Oh, there it is. The Kings landed their point guard. James isn't saying anything. LaMelo Ball is on his way to Sacramento. That's
ham bum.
That's why James looks so upset.
I definitely, like, if there was a deal that I think, you know, we always saw OG was like the perfect fit, but OG typically can't stay healthy. And I also think, like, if you have OG and Anunoby, like, De'Aaron Fox has to be the scorer that he is still. Keegan Murray, his points per game would still bump up. Like, OG's not a natural just scorer. I think with hindsight, we see just how good Siakam is and how that could have really worked. And, you know, maybe it would have not worked the same alongside Sabonis, but I don't know, like two really, really good players. So that's a player I think that I would have gone and got at this point, like with hindsight. But again, it's just been so long, you know, I certainly wouldn't have, like, I think the one thing I've learned about over the course of like the last, 13 years or 12 years with Vivek is willing to listen and can be talked into plenty of things. And if it came down to like paying a luxury tax or taking a big jump in salary, like you've got to be smart about your money on the back end of it. But maybe that meant that you couldn't have signed, you know, a guy like Trey Lyles or something. Maybe it meant that, you know, again, you couldn't go get a Jonas Valanciunas at the trade deadline because of the $10 million in salary. But I do think that there was a point where you easily could have fit Siakam into your salary structure. It wouldn't have been easy, especially having three top tier players, but you could have done it, and you would have just had to be really smart all the way around. And, you know, the Kings just didn't go down that road.
The question now becomes, will there be any almost this offseason?
I hope.
Yeah.
I think Scott gets the job done.
Kings almost landed, .. Let's hope not.
Yeah, I'm certainly hoping that we don't deal with the same exact, you know, sort of thinking this summer that everything gets exposed, everything's out in the public, and then they miss out on this guy or that guy. But I do think they're going to be aggressive. I think they've got a list of names of players that they want to acquire. And I'd also say this, like, look, Keon Ellis or Keegan Murray or, you know, Devin Carter, name that king. The new management is going to have an opinion of those players that is completely independent of what ownership or what previous management had for those same players. And, you know, some of these guys that people love, they're probably not going to make the cut, you know, in the end. They're going to be casualties of a retool here by Scott Perry and his group. And, you know, it does take talent to get talent in the NBA. And that means that some of your favorite players, whether it be Malik or whether it be Keon or Keegan, they could be on a different roster next season or at the deadline or next the season after, just because that's the game. You got to constantly be building and manipulating your roster to create something that like strikes a chord with everybody and find success. And I'm sure there are a lot of people in Boston that were very, very uncomfortable with the offseason they had two summers ago. And then when it yielded a championship, they stopped complaining. But before that, you know, giving away a Marcus Smart, giving away some of the players that they gave away that, you know, you thought were part of the core. It's never easy, but that's a risk of basketball.
James, do you, just in your thought, just reading the tea leaves, do you think some of those players that they realistically have on their list, Scott Perry and Doug Christie have on their list, do you think there's some heavy hitters, some guys on there that are looked at as all-stars or potential all-star players?
I would hope so. You know, again, I don't know, you know, if you can trade a guy like Zach LaVine, and I don't think they're going to trade a guy like Domantas Sabonis. It doesn't mean they won't. You know, there's always a possibility that a deal comes up that just is too good or makes too much sense for the franchise. But those are your all-stars, and when people want to trade one of their all-stars, they usually want one of yours in return. You know, and that's even like the idea that Kyle had with, you know, the Cavs trade. Like, both Jared Allen and Darius Garland have been all-stars. You know, I wouldn't consider them all-star players right now, but they're both really, really good, like, fringe all-stars. The Kings need more of those guys, and I don't know if you can acquire more of those guys without giving up one of yours. And, you know, of course, that would mean Sabonis or Zach LaVine. And, you know, again, maybe, again, DeMar DeRozan. But DeMar DeRozan, I just put in, like, a different bucket of player at this point just because of his age and everything else.
Hammer, maybe just end of last week, there were some moves that you're...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Buddy over at the Kings Beat, Sean Cunningham, was reporting on some additions to the front office staff, some additions to Doug Christie's staff. Any of those names from the report get your attention? Anyone you're fond of, remember, anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I have the coaching staff in front of me at this point. So we've got Mike Woodson, we've got Bobby Jackson, we've got Leandro Barbosa. Chris Darnell, they brought in. He is, if I'm not mistaken, was the G League coach for the Cavs last season. Mike Miller is, and just so you know, I broke some of these, not my friend Sean Cunningham.
Well, but I was actually, I was referencing Scott Layden, Greg Stranton, some of the guys who are joining the scouting department, Garius Adams.
Well, those guys left.
If you broke those, I apologize.
No. I'm just messing with you. So Mike Miller is a big name for the Kings, like super seasoned NBA veteran assistant coach. Not Mike Miller, the player that played for, you know, Orlando and Memphis and Miami and those teams. The other guys, I think Scott Perry wanted to switch up his scouting department, which is why Scott Layden and I can't remember the other guy who have left. The other guy had been around for a while. So those guys are gone and they definitely have replaced them with two new like scouting directors. And with most NBA teams, you might have a West Coast scout, you might have an East Coast scout, and then you might have a European scout. I think they're still filling some of those roles. And, you know, they did keep Phil Jabbour and Paul Johnson from the previous staff. I think Paul Johnson is a guy who's been a lot more like visible. You've seen a lot of him. Phil Jabbour has been, he's again, scouts are more behind the scenes guys. And so you don't see like photos of those guys very often. But I think both of them are reasonable guys to have in the front office. They fit the, you know, what's going on here and sort of the build. The Kings also hired a new director of analytics, and I don't know that name. I'll try to reach out and get that name, but they also did hire a director of analytics. They're busy. You know, BJ Armstrong is not just a guy who's been around the league for, you know, three decades. But he's also a guy that, Scott Perry has a really good relationship with and trusts. He's a guy who has all kinds of ties because of his role the last decade as an agent. And so, you know, those are good ties to have around the league. You know, guys that are like wildly respected around the league and who have who bring something different to the table. I think the Kings already have somebody who does all of their like their salary cap and stuff like that. But again, that's a behind the scenes person that people don't typically know.
James, any thoughts on the guys that came in for the pre-draft workouts? They finally got to some guys that I think might be realistic targets, and I'm looking at two guys in particular, Tyrese Proctor, the point guard out of Duke, and RJ Lewis, the small forward, I guess you would call him, out of St. John's. I think RJ, maybe Tyrese too, talked to the media and everything. Did anything stick out with any of these guys that just came through for workouts, though?
I will say this. I put out the tweet yesterday with those guys coming through Sacramento, and Proctor has a lot of fans Like, no, there are a lot of people who jumped all over that. Yeah. I think that would be a good, if he falls to the Kings at 42, I know that's where like Tankathon has him sort of listed. The stats look good. You know, he's a game manager, point guard. You know, I think he like 6'4 and a quarter without shoes, 6'7 and a quarter wingspan. So a good like +3 height to wingspan. Shot the three ball well at the college level. Didn't turn the ball over a ton at the college level. Not like a super dynamic athlete. I think I looked up his vert and it was like a 30 and a half inch like standing vert and a 36 inch max vert. But definitely a dude who, you know, looks like he can handle himself and has come through a very good program where, you know, learning the game of basketball is, you know, at a premium. But also he played a lot of shooting guard, played a lot of off guard, and I don't think he's a true point guard, but I wouldn't mind if the Kings were able to get him and have him be a backup point guard for the next year or two while they figure out who it is going to be their, you know, starter. And if you were going to say trade for Jrue Holiday, that would be a perfect guy to bring in and have him work behind Jrue Holiday for, you know, 2 or 3 years and hope that he works into something better and develops.
Why do you think Jrue Holiday is the perfect guy here?
Well, I mean, I don't think he's a perfect guy here because of his age and because of the salary that he's owed. I think it's $104.4 million over the next 3 years, and that's a lot for a 35-year-old. But I do appreciate Jrue Holiday and all that he brings. And I'll say this, like, if you were going to tell me that you're walking into next season and your starting shooting guard is Zach LaVine, I want a guy like Jrue Holiday next to Zach LaVine. I don't love the fact that your guards are over 30, and that's not a good way to build a sustainable winner. But there's something I learned about the Holidays, and they're just really good people. You know, like Justin was here in Sacramento. Their parents are great. Like, those are good people. They're good human beings. They're smart. They give back to the community in like an incredible way. They're also really, they change the culture in the locker room in the same way that, you know, again, like a Harrison Barnes changes the culture. So if Jrue Holiday was the guy, I understand it. I just know that, you know, you might be limiting whatever window that you have, which I think is already kind of limited at this point. And I would hope that if you were to do that, it would, you know, you wouldn't have two 35-year-olds on your roster, 35, 36-year-olds. I mean, I think DeMar DeRozan, Jrue Holiday, and then, you know, a draft pick makes quite a bit of sense for everybody.
Would you rather have Jrue Holiday or Kristaps Porzingis?
Oh, no doubt. I'd rather have Jrue Holiday. Yeah, because I'll say, first of all, Porzingis has never been able to stay healthy at all. Secondly, whatever I said about Jrue Holiday, you hear the absolute opposite about Porzingis.
Oh my.
Like just off the court. And so, you know, like, I'm not saying he's a horrible human being. But they're like, you gotta remember, it wasn't that long ago that there was a New York situation and all that stuff with Porzingis. I guess it was a long time ago now because he's, you know, he's not a young kid anymore. But it was enough noise that made you feel uncomfortable, and, you know, that and family stuff around and all that, like, they're just really polar opposites about what you hear about what they mean to a franchise as much as anything.
James doesn't want you bringing your baggage to Sacramento. We got enough baggage of our own. Don't pack yours and bring it here with us. Oh, well, go ahead, James. Sorry.
I was going to say, the other thing is, like, if Jrue Holiday came here, he would come here and work. He wouldn't be like, oh, I'm in Sacramento. Like, I guess that means that I've got to just waste away the end of my career. That's not every player in the league. I think, you know, Jrue Holiday could get to Sacramento, get settled, and start building something very quickly. Like, I think he would establish himself, help establish a culture and all that stuff. Plus, he plays wonderful defense, even at an advanced age. He can knock down a three-point shot, even though it was a little shady this year. And I just think that he's a player that would fit alongside Zach LaVine.
Okay. In that scenario, yes, I'd rather have Drew than KP.
Well, you wouldn't rather have Porzingis in any scenario, would you?
Not really. I like Porzingis too, but I like can't stay healthy. And then this was.
We don't know if the man is alive.
Well, that's what I was about to say.
Literally, the last thing we heard is, yeah, he can't breathe.
This playoff.
Guys, that's a problem. Like, get him help.
Matter of fact, they got to give me 2 draft picks now.
Will someone, as a matter of fact, will someone just check on him? Hey, how's the whole breathing thing?
You good, big
you okay? Right? Like, can we help? Like,
something.
But, brother, I just want you to be okay.
That's it.
I don't care if you play basketball anymore. The fact that this mysterious upper respiratory illness is a problem. Let's take Kristaps Porzingis off of any trade discussions moving forward.
I'm with you.
Okay. No more Porzingis. We'll just focus.
That's a done deal.
All right. We'll focus on Drew Holiday and whatever else might be out there for us. James, what do you guys got going on the Insiders tomorrow? There's no game tonight. Kyle doesn't have to write about a draft or an NFL trade. Like, what are we going to do? We're going to bring the Tyrese De'Aaron debate back? We're going to find more trade targets? I think a lot of people are starting to lean on getting rid of Domantas Sabonis. I know James isn't.
Yeah, I'm not. I do think tomorrow we'll spend a lot of time on trade ideas. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I'll bring a couple of trade ideas tomorrow. Some of them will be older trade ideas that I'm just rehashing, and some of them will be maybe something interesting that I look around the league and say, hey, this might make some sense.
All right, James was awfully active today, but he won't break any news here on the show with us. So
come
I guess
on,
we'll just
who's the new point guard?
We'll just have to wait till tomorrow or whenever James decides to let us in on his little secrets. James, we appreciate you as always. We're going to head over to 102.5 for those who want to join us. If not, make sure you join James, Kyle Mattson, beginning at 10 a.m. tomorrow here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos. I don't know who's playing tonight.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.